Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Our continuing preseason 2019-2020 podcasts. This is our, what is this, the America East, the WAC?
Big East.
Big East. Oh, this is our Big East preview show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Joby Fortson, David Griggs, John Stalica, recording this on the evening of October 14th. And time to talk some Big East basketball. David, how about the Big East? Excited?
Yeah, I actually am. Last year, the league kind of had a down year. I talked about this in sort of the media day recap that has not been posted as of yet with the time we were recording it. But a down year for the Big East is only sending three teams and only winning one game, as opposed to sending five or six or more, which is what we've been seeing, and having a team or two as a protected seed. So that's a good down year to have, and I think that it was just that. I think it was a bit of an anomaly. It wouldn't shock me at all to see half the teams or more than half back in this year with I think there's two teams that got excellent shots at getting protected seeds.
But a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum last year. Yeah. Four teams made the NCAA tournament.
Oh, four, five, sorry.
Five made the NIT, and one actually went to the CBI best of three.
Yeah, my mistake. Five. You're right. I forgot about the Johnnies. Also getting in.
Yeah, but what I think Sleeka was getting at there also was 10-team conference. All 10 teams played in a postseason tournament. It was just that they only picked up one NCAA tournament win in Villanova's first round win. Joby.
Yes, that and it was definitely a down year. As much as the Fighting Dave Leto's
final. CBI basketball tournament.
It was a very down year. I do not expect a repeat. I think there will be more bids available because some of the other conferences will be down a little bit from last year. Thus, more, I think a conference like the Big East will be able to gain bids from what they did last year.
Well, David, let me start with you. And the question that we always got to ask when we start a new conference is, who do you think the best team in this league is heading into the season?
Villanova is going to be the traditional pick. Like, they've got three starters back from a team that was pretty good last year, and they add a really good recruiting class. But I got a little bit of a dark horse here. Last year, Xavier had a pretty unspectacular year for the first 20, 21 games or so, but they were really playing well at the end of the year. They were playing pretty much as good as anyone. They didn't make the NCAA tournament simply because their overall season was nowhere near good enough. But by the end of the year, they looked like an NCAA tournament team. And with four starters back, along with a pretty good recruiting class to go along with it, I think I might be picking Stalika's Muskies to win the league this year.
Well, Stalica, they're your Muskies. David thinks they could win the Big East. Do you agree with him?
I would be tempted to go with them, but I'm actually thinking there's going to be another team with a core four that's actually going to possibly win the title this year.
Okay, well, let's go there. We're going to go there in a second. Let's talk about the Xavier team, though. What do you think that they've got that you like heading into the season?
Well, first of all, their core four is going to be Najee Marshall, Paul Scruggs, Quentin Gooden, Tyreek Jones. You're also going to have their traditional grad transfers. This year, it's going to be Jason Carter, who's transferring in from Ohio University. He's actually going to have two seasons of eligibility because he actually graduated within 3 years and redshirted a year while he was with the Bobcats. And also keep an eye on Bryce Moore, who's going to be transferring from Western Michigan. Hopefully gives him a little bit more of outside shooting, which has been a major weakness for Xavier in the years past. But the other thing to keep in mind, they're also going to have a pretty talented recruiting class coming in with guys like Kiki Tandy and Bishop, Fremantle, among others. But the luxury is, at least you're easing them into the bathtub. They're not having to contribute right away like some of the guys have had to do in years past, because Chris Mack, for all the great coaching he did at Xavier, his recruiting was actually pretty questionable for a few years after the class that landed Blewett and McCura and Sumner, among others.
Yeah, Joby, though, this Xavier team, Travis Steele just seems to be ready to just follow that line of great Xavier coaches. He's just I'm buying in. Are you?
Yeah, well, I'm not fully buying in. I think they're an NCAA tournament team, but I do not think they are. They're going to be winning the league. Yeah, a lot. And Stalika mentioned it. I think a lot relies on Bryce Moore. He was at Western Michigan. He shot 39% from three. A lot to stretch the defense for those long bodies is so important. We're going to find out. Is he a, yeah, and do you steal from Seinfeld? Is he a chucker? You know, yeah. I mean, I actually think he needs to improve and get it in the 40s. If he does that, then watch out. Xavier could be really special, but so much depends because without him, the outside shooting is just absent. And I think the talent in this league, especially on the inside, by a number of teams, you can't play that way this year and this year's Big East.
But another reason Xavier was down last year for most of the season was their defense was actually in the bottom half of the NCAA, at least in terms of Pomeroy's adjusted defense. That did improve quite a bit midseason last year, starting with the win against Creighton at home, and they were beating teams like Providence, even Seton Hall and St. John's on the road, and Villanova at home, among others. But as we saw towards the end of the last year, where they lose to Villanova in the Big East tournament, as well as national champion Texas, which is another story in itself.
But Sleek, I cut you off a little bit earlier. I meant because I wanted to have this Xavier discussion, but I want to go right back to you to who your pick is, because I think it's the same team that I'm picking to win this conference. And it's, as David mentioned, it's not named Villanova.
It is going to be the Seton Hall Pirates, who were actually a pleasant surprise themselves last year, because coming into last season, we didn't have high expectations on them because they had just lost a talented group of seniors. But their core four is now going to include Miles Powell, Mamu Kalishavili, and then you're also going to have Miles Kale and Quincy McKnight. And then they also have Opiagu, who's going to be transferring in from Florida State to fill the post.
Well, David, what about the Hall? I mean, I'm especially with Miles Powell, who should be in contention for the Big East Player of the Year, at least.
Yeah, I'm big on him. I mean, especially when you look at how they finished the season last year, and with all of this, and with all of the talent they have coming back, it's hard to not like this team a lot. Like, I think they won 5 in a row, 6 in a row, got to the Big East Championship game and were competitive in that game before losing it. So, again, similar to Xavier, while they didn't make the NCAA tournament, they were playing like a tournament team at the end of the year, and they've got all of those big pieces coming back. So, I mean, I'm big on them as well for a lot of the same reasons I'm big on Xavier.
And Joby, could this be the best Seton Hall team since P.J. Carlissimo took them to the national championship game?
It probably is the best Seton Hall team. Yeah. And that's what I think. I mean, come on, 9 returning rotation players. That's pretty freaking strong. And they go, well, maybe they're just pieces and cogs. When you have Miles Powell, that's not a cog. Yeah, you know, that's an All-American you have. So they should be looked at. They're getting serious consideration. Most people are having them in the teens, looking at them as like a 3 seed in projections. I don't think that's outrageous. I think other teams will rise. We know what we have in Seton Hall. I think other teams will rise above that, but I couldn't name who. And so preseason slapping a 3 seed on them seems pretty accurate to me.
Well, let's see how they do early in the season, because they're going to be playing Michigan State as part of the Gavitt games. They're also going to be part of the battle for Atlantis. We're going to play Oregon and either Gonzaga or Southern Miss. And then they've also got games at Iowa State.
They're going to be playing Southern Miss because Oregon's going to beat them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Oregon's really good. Not just good. They're really good. They're my Pac-12.
Before we move into the Pac-12 too far, Joby, what about Villanova? I mean, we just skipped over them twice, and a lot of preseason people are picking
them. Jay Wright should never be underestimated. Mm-hmm. Never. He was underestimated. He wins a national title. Whenever you think Villanova is an afterthought, you're making a mistake. They're returning 4 of their top 6. This is not like they're rebuilding this year. They've got a good team that's coming back. I really like, and they have balance. They have the balance. You know, when I was talking, we were talking about the Musketeers, I worried about the outside balance. Villanova doesn't have those issues. I think Villanova is going to once again be back. Oh, and by the way, they have what, the number 4 ranked recruiting class coming in or whatever on top of all this. Yeah, Villanova's just fine. They're back to being, I dare say, elite.
Well, I think you see here one of their top recruits, Antoine, talking about taking a red shirt this year because of an injury in the preseason. But
right.
So they got enough, David, don't they?
They do. And again, it that is a good kind of down year to have where you finish ranked in the top 25 and you go out in the round of 32. A lot of schools would kill to have those kind of down years. And if that were anybody else, like how many round of 32 teams are returning 4 starters that we're not going to be big on? I mean, virtually all of them. So, yeah, this is a good team. And before we went on, we talked about how the Big East is pretty good top to bottom, but outside of Nova, we're not used to seeing a whole lot of protected seats. I wouldn't be shocked to see them get 3 this year.
Well, really?
Wow. Yeah, with Xavier, Seton Hall, and Nova. I really think that those are 3 really good teams.
I agree with you. I think this is another conference where we have the top 3 teams. We're probably not going to have much fight over who those top 3 are. Stalika, first of all, I didn't get your thoughts on Nova. Let me start with that.
Well, one thing I'm going to say about Nova is the one player they'll probably miss the most from last year is going to be Eric Paschal, who was a stretch 5 who could create a lot of matchup problems, bringing the opposing centers out towards the 3-point line because he could shoot it consistently from out there. But I still think they're going to have quite a few super sophomores and Cole Swider and Sadiq Bey. Javon Quinterly, from what I understand, that's going to be more addition by subtraction with him not being in the lineup. But you add guys like Demir Cosby Roundtree and Jermaine Samuels, Nova's not going to miss a beat.
Yeah, I agree. I think this Nova team should be right there at the end of the day. But let's kind of look beyond them. And Joby, let me start with you. Who would be the next best team after these top 3?
Somebody else is up there in the top three. One of the most famous quotes this podcast has ever given in the preseason.
Here it comes.
Yes. You know, I actually think they're the 4th best team.
I believe I'm with you here. Let's name them, Joby.
I really do think that. I thought hiring Patrick Ewing was just a mistake. Oh, he's high profile, blah, blah, blah. He's not good. Man, the guy's recruiting and he's coaching. I like what Ewing's doing here. And they miss, hey, Govan, you know, going, leaving, you know, matriculating onward to bigger and better things. Yeah. That's a loss, but you got Alonzo Mourning's kid or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got depth coming back in, actually. Coming in for Georgetown. They've got a strong bench, strong recruiting. I really like Malinowski. He really started to come on at the end of the year. And then Akinjo, McClung, LeBlanc, these are like,
And the big guy,
superstars in the making. Who knows?
And the big NC State transfer, Yurtseven, the 7-footer.
Yes, and he had to sit out last year, and we'll be back. He's got a nice hook shot. He can make some moves inside. I don't know how mobile. Like Govan's more mobile, obviously, but he's because of that. It's not like, I mean, they've got it. Patrick Ewing and getting big guys. I'm shocked. I'm shocked to see gambling in this establishment.
Yeah. David, do you believe? Are you a believer with me and Joby on the Georgetown Hoyas?
I kind of am, and I actually am. I think that they could be a tournament caliber team this year. In fact, if I had to guess right now, in or out, I would say in. And I have to echo what Joby said. I mean, we guffawed a lot, me in particular, over the hiring of Patrick Ewing, and then like how he was eating a whole bunch of cupcakes but doing nothing beyond that. Him going into his 3rd year, I think that he's got them to be an NCAA tournament caliber team, and it's going to be a fun team to watch. Hats off to him for the job that he's done, because this was a program that sort of needed rebuilding. I didn't think he was the guy to do it, but he's done it.
Well, year 1, he was 5-13 in the conference. Last year, 9-9. I mean, it's going to take a leap of faith to think they'll have a similar improvement this year. Well, I think they're in the NCAA mix, but I don't think they're quite going to be fourth place.
Well, Sleeka, you being our schedule guy, let me read this off to you here. Mount St. Mary's, Central Arkansas, Georgia State, UMBC, Samford, American, another garbage schedule.
Isn't that hurts them. That really hurts them. I don't know why they do that.
Like, that does hurt, but by the same token, they will be playing Texas and either Duke or Cal in the aforementioned 2K Empire Classic.
Okay.
Now, Oklahoma State.
And they're playing Virginia in a preseason exhibition game. Does that count?
Yeah, well, they got a Syracuse home game, and they got a game at Oklahoma State. That's the best you can say about the schedule, though, really. Penn State. Come on.
Yeah.
David, how about beyond the Hoyas? What else do you like in this conference?
A lot. Marquette, who sort of petered out down the stretch last year, but a lot of people forget that they were at one time ranked in the top 10. I don't think it's as severe as Notre Dame, neither their drop-off or what's coming back, but they've got a lot of pieces back from a team that had some big moments last year. So they're kind of a team to keep an eye on. Okay. Would you like to elaborate on Marquette, or would you like me to keep going?
Let's talk about Marquette here. And Stalika, Marcus Howard, if it's not going to be what's the name from Seton Hall?
Miles Powell.
Marcus Howard's probably the best player of the conference, but the Housers are both gone.
Well, one Hauser went to Michigan State. The other is going to Virginia. But by the same token, Marquette had improved from a defensive standpoint, but at the same time, you had to wonder – what was going on with the team chemistry that they were suddenly losing at home to the likes of Georgetown and Creighton, which is actually a drop-off because Marquette and Villanova were actually going neck and neck for the Big East regular season title for the first two-thirds of the season.
Joby?
I think the Hauser transfers is a bad sign because these aren't bad kids. Marcus Howard is an amazing player. He is going to be playing professionally in the league. But he can shoot from anywhere. But he's ball hog. Wojo's letting it happen. The locker room is in shambles, if you ask our friend Matt Zukowski. It's going to eat. And, you know, Marcus Howard can turn from Marcus Howard of last year as quickly to Kai Bowman. You know, I am not bullish on Marquette this year at all. I think there's going to be major problems infrastructure wise, and the shock. I'll save my shock.
All right. Well, it's a Sleeka. How about Creighton?
Creighton is another one of those teams that's sneakily flying in under the radar, but their own core of Tyshawn Alexander, Mitchell Ballack, as well as Davion Mintz, and another guy that we should be seeing back last year, and that's going to be Jacob Epperson, who is a medical redshirt and actually had to burn his redshirt season, ironically enough, his freshman year because he was filling in for Martin Crumple because of a torn ACL for Crumple. But in the case of Epperson, I think it was a back and knee injury where he had to take a medical redshirt. So he'll still have 3 years in front of him. And as far as Alexander, he had over 560 points last year, so he should be on pace at the very least to cross the 1,000-point threshold this year as far as his career. And the Blue Jays will continue to launch a lot of threes, hit quite a few of them. They'll also play some random D2 program in late December.
And they'll give up a ton of points. But, David, can you tell us exactly how Creighton's season is going to go?
I say this every year, and it's Doug McDermott everywhere he's been. I mean, they win a big game in November. They get into the rankings. They're ranked in the top 10 going into February, and then they lose 7 of their last 10. Creighton actually did sort of the opposite last year. I think they won 4 of their last 5 or something like that. So – with that, and they've got 4 starters back. So,
you know,
are we back to normal where Creighton kind of comes in, makes a big splash early, wins a lot of big games, they're ranked high, they're being projected into the NCAA tournament, and then they crash and lose 6 out of their last 9?
That was a nice analysis on Doug McDermott, the player. Could you please tell us a little more about Greg McDermott?
I said Greg McDermott.
Yeah,
we got to go back and edit. Go back.
Juby, Kamar Baldwin and the Butler Bulldogs. Is there anything else there behind Baldwin, though?
I thought Butler. I thought Butler was going to be solid and okay during all these coaching carousels. I'm starting to have questions now. We're going to see if the 7'1" transfer from Valpo can do anything. You know, Khalif Battle was a nice addition. It's a lot of unknowns for Lavelle Jordan this year. There really are. This season could turn out to surprise everybody, including us on this podcast, et cetera. They do actually have a high ceiling. They also have a really low floor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the floor will go as low as Chicago, hint, hint. But it could.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a Butler team that really, we could be talking about them as a five seed. We could talk about them as not even making the NIT. And it's just – David, how about the Friars? Are they an NCAA tournament caliber team this year?
They could be. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you know, the Big East last year, they're one of a lot of teams, I think, Providence, that's returning mm-hmm. four or more starters. They've got all five coming back. And, you know, 18 wins a year ago, so you would think that they would be more improved this year. So, yeah, they could be.
And you can also throw in Luan Pipkins, who's going to be a grad transfer from UMass. Now, granted, he's not going to have to average 18 points and carry the entire team on his shoulders like he had to do in Amherst. He'll have a lot more help around him this time.
But he's doing that 18.9 points a game against A-10 competition. This isn't – you know, the Charleston Southern grad who's all of a sudden going to come in and take North Carolina to new heights, you know, from the last few years.
Yeah, and you got – don't forget Alpha Diallo, of course.
Yeah, and Alpha Diallo is a great guy to have back. You get a – it's senior leadership. He's – yeah. Providence, I have a lot of – whereas I've been kind of poo-pooing Butler and poo-pooing Musketeers a little bit and Marquette. Providence is going to fill that void. Yeah. Providence comes up. I'm not saying they're winning the Big East by any stretch, but if they make the tournament, it would not shock me at all.
Me neither.
I got to throw this out there. David, let me bring you in here on a team that I think has a ton of talent, has a new head coach that had some level of success in Arkansas. What about the Johnnies coming off a tournament year? Mike Anderson in there. You still have Mustafa Heron. Salika's giving me a thumbs down. Where is this team going to happen with them?
I don't have any arms, but if I did, I would be giving them a thumbs down. I really like Mike Anderson as a coach. I think he's going to do well there. I just don't think they have the pieces yet. It was just – and you almost wonder the way that was handled. First, the – decision to get rid of Chris Mullen or him deciding to leave or sort of both, how that was handled and then how the coaching search went beyond that. I mean, they were told no by a lot of people. They ended up with a pretty good candidate in the end, but you kind of wonder, are there problems not just in a locker room, but in the administration there? And is that going to translate to problems on the court? I just don't think they have the talent to compete with the rest of the league. And the rest of the league is pretty good. A lot of teams are returning a lot of experience, and I think a lot of them are going to be better this year, whereas the Johnnies just won't be.
If one of our favorite coaches in Tim Kloos is saying no to that job, that is not a good situation for St. John's right now.
But Joby, isn't there a little bit of talent here? I mean, Figueroa and Mustafa Heron, and I know Shamari Ponce is going.
Here's the thing is, I actually think Mike Anderson's a decent coach. And the cupboard is not bare, but it is – it's not like you got a lot of stuff sitting. It's not like you have a bunch of teapots hanging around. The Giants are not making the tournament. They're likely not to make – you're not going to make a return to the tournament. I don't know what they were doing firing Mullen after that. Yeah. They're not probably making the NIT. But, hey, you know, as Dave Leto and DePaul showed, there is hope in the CBI.
Well, let's talk some of the CBI runner-ups. Leak, it's the only team we haven't discussed. Next year we'll have an 11th team to discuss in this conference, but UConn is not here yet. So what about the Blue Demons? Could this be the year that they get up to ninth place?
Could be the season they get up to ninth place, and if everything goes right, they may actually get up to eighth place.
Wow.
The only problem is they do not have Max Strus in there to give them some point production. They do have, Gage and Butts, among others, Lands. But they do have some talented freshmen coming in. You got Romeo Weems, who's supposed to be the top of the class. You got Carter Gordon, who's going to be transferring in from St. Louis. But the big question mark is, what is the chemistry around this program going to be like?
I don't know. David, is there anything more we should discuss about DePaul, or should we just move on?
I think we just move on.
Okay. Let me stick with you, David, and ask you the two questions here. One, I think I already know your answer, but who wins the Big East? And two, how many bids are we getting?
I'm going to stay with my dark horse bid. And again, this is sort of like picking the upset. Maybe they're not your overall pick, but they're your overall pick because you think it's possible. I'm going to stick with Xavier to win the league. And I'm going to go with, I think, six teams in the NCAA tournament.
All right. Jopi.
I will go with Nova. I think Jay Wright gets it done. I think they're going to be pretty strong, as high as even a bottom half two seed, you know, that 7 or 8 on the seed list, to nose out a very good Seton Hall team. Six bids sounds pretty good. Providence being, you know, that dark horse sixth bid, that'll be where it determines or not, with the Hoyas well inside the field, maybe even wearing white, who knows?
Oh, yeah,
very
wow.
Tight. Very tight. I mean, the 8-9 game screams Georgetown to me. So
I have Jeff Seton Hall winning the conference league. I know you're there also. I've got six teams in. I've got the Hall, Nova, Xavier, Georgetown. I'm going Providence and Creighton. You sold me on Marquette, Joey, as in not an NCAA tournament team this year. But Sleeka, where are you in terms of number of bids? I know you've got the Hall winning it.
I'm going to go ahead and say six, and then besides Hall, Villanova, Xavier for sure, and I'm going to say Creighton, Georgetown, and either Providence or Marquette to get that sixth bid. I'm not going to completely rule out the Golden Eagles, but their chemistry certainly has to be a question mark going into this season.
And again, I think Butler is kind of like that seventh team that could surprise us all, or could just be nowhere near it.
We've seen this conference send seven before. So,
Sleek, let me go back to you for any other final thoughts about the Big East.
We're probably at the same checkpoint right now for Butler as we were about 4 or 5 years ago, where we're just about ready to completely write the program off because we're thinking this is the point where they're finally going to be over their heads. The good news is they do have some great recruits coming in. The bad news is that's the class of 2020, so we can't really talk about them until next year.
Joby.
Well, this is my thought on it. Wojo does not survive the offseason.
Wow.
That's my shocking, you know, that I stopped myself so I could save it for a final thought. But as a little aside, the rise of Georgetown – Have we ever seen an all-freshman team include three from the same team where none of those freshmen were one-and-doners? You know, so I'm not going to take the Duke, you know, guys, for instance. Huh. That is that three freshmen for a power conference like the Big East. That's pretty studly. That's why I'm high on Georgetown. Maybe there's a sophomore slump. There could be. That's a pretty impressive stat.
David, you want to finish us off?
Yeah, I mean, I just – one of the things, and I said this at the top of the show to kind of repeat, it's just how many teams are bringing back the core of what they returned last year, Providence with five starters back, Xavier with four back, you know, Creighton with four back, Georgetown with four back, Seton Hall with all five, I think, or is it just four?
Four.
Okay, and Villanova, I think, only has three. But, like, still, just the experience in this league, I think everyone is going to be better. And I think out of conference, you're going to see a lot of teams entering conference play already with signature wins, which is something we really didn't see last year, but that we had seen in previous years. I think the Big East is back to getting 6-7 in and two or three in the protected seed range.
I Well, I don't want to agree with you, but I will. On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We're going to have a lot more preseason content still to come. But on behalf of John Slica, Joby Fortson, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll talk to you again real soon.